Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Welcome back in, everybody. A Friday edition of Birds 365 following the NFL draft. Joined now by the great Mark Farzetta. Mark, welcome to the show, man.
I heard the term shrinking violet. I was told I was not going to be talking about the Sixers today. So John.
You can. Yes, you can. I've talked about them. I want to talk about them. I want to get one question, and then we'll move on. Then we'll go Eagles and rookie camp.
Okay.
Tobias Harris, let me make this clear. Tobias Harris stinks. All right, we can all stipulate that.
Confirmed.
Now, I feel like I see way too many people scapegoating. They don't see the real issues. Well, you get rid of Tobias Harris, you get all this money, you bring in other people. Sixers, I just talked about it with the Eagles and spacing. The Sixers don't play the right way. And from that, this is what I mean, Mark. Look at any Sixers elimination in the past. Kawhi Leonard, Trae Young, Jason Tatum, last night Jalen Brunson, all creators. That's how you close games in the modern NBA. That's how you close games. Joel Embiid can be the guy for 43 minutes, Mark. But if you're not up 10, the offense has to go through Tyrese Maxey. Saved him in game 5. That was just an anomaly. The offense has to run through Tyrese Maxey late in close games in the playoffs. Game 35 in Memphis, I don't give a shit. All Joel Embiid, I don't give a shit. To close games, you need a closer in the modern NBA. Maxey might develop into that, might not, but then you got to get somebody else. Shaq had Kobe. Shaq can do all the Shaq stuff. End of game, Kobe. Until they are honest with themselves, Mark Farzetta, Joel Embiid is a tremendous talent. Let me scream it into the microphone because everybody will say, oh, you can't, and it's an indictable offense to criticize Joel Embiid. It's the way the sport is played. Adapt or you become the Sixers. Brunson's going 3-3, bang, bang. That's 6 points. And then you're knocking it down to the block and trudging and turnovers. You can't win like that. That's the problem. Tobias Harris stinks. Scapegoat him all you want. Bring in somebody else who can get a rebound every 15 minutes. Great. You're still going to lose if you don't have a creator. And let him create to finish games. Rant finished. Mark Farzetta.
I thought there was going to be a question.
Yes.
What was the question I just learned about basketball? That's all that just happened there.
The question is, rate my rant. There you go.
Yeah, really. Second time Johnny Mac gave that rant today. I enjoyed it just as much as you just did, Farzi.
10 out of 10. The only thing is, though, last night, and going into the game, quickly on it, because I think we just took up all the Sixers time. But go. I wanted Tyrese Maxey to run the show. I wanted Joel Embiid to downshift and just play to within his means. His means ended up being pretty damn good. The problem was Tyrese Maxey. Look, the NBA is all about stars. Tobias Harris, I've told everyone for the longest time, stop expecting anything from Tobias Harris. If you get 10 or 15 points from him, it's a blessing. Unfortunately, last night, he literally, not only did he give you nothing, he got you minus 10. I can't think of a better last line in the last game Tobias Harris ever plays as a Sixer, more fitting to his career as a Sixer than 0 points, 29 minutes, and minus 10.
That's my point, Mark, and I'll bring it back to the Eagles because I hear him at Eagles show. But, Sean Desai, Brian Johnson, people want a scapegoat. And scapegoat these non-entities, which is fine, and it makes you feel good. But you're not looking at the real problem. Until you look at the real problem, you're still getting beat by Tatum, and you're still getting beat by Brunson, and you're still getting beat by Kawhi Leonard. Until you identify the problem and deal with the problem, you're still losing.
I think we need Johnny Mack as a Sixers defensive coordinator and offensive strategist. I think that's what we need.
Wouldn't be a bad idea.
You wouldn't have that blown coverage. You wouldn't have that blown coverage that left Josh Hart alone at the top of the key at the end of the game.
You got to be willing to step on some toes and say, and it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy because you got this organization, when it got Joel Embiid, was in the shitter. Let's be honest. They had no cachet, joke. And they had to, play up to him. Like superstars can be high maintenance. You got to sit him down and say, look, big guy, we love you. You're phenomenal. It's your game for 43 minutes. But if it's close, you got to set picks and you got to let this guy create. And sometimes you'll get the ball and you'll be able to finish. But it ain't running through you. I'm sorry. You're not winning that way. And that's the real problem.
Copy that.
Let's get it back to the Eagles. Barkley, rookie camp starting. Eagles get a haul of new picks in the draft. What's your first reaction to the NFL draft that the Eagles had? I thought they did pretty good, got great value, but a lot of praise coming for Howie Roseman right now. What say you, Mark Farzetta?
I saw that the Pat McAfee fella. Two things. One, he's like wearing sleeves now and everything, which is wild. But the other thing is he had short sleeves. And then he had Howie Roseman on yesterday, and he was.
I saw he had Howie on. Come on my show, Howie.
Howie was. It's funny to watch Howie try to bro out because he's not a bro. Right. But when he tries to bro out, it was hilarious. But anyway, other than that, I liked it when Howie Roseman really sucked at his job and was terrible. That was a lot more fun for us.
It was so much fun.
But when I am of the school. Of like the GM rarely ever does anything right. The coach is usually an idiot. He'll be fired soon anyway, blah, blah, blah. Like that's like the school of thought that I come from. Right? But damn it. Ever since Rieger and Justin Jefferson fella, Howie's done a hell of a job. And the idea of the three straight drafts, getting Jordan Davis, trading for AJ Brown, you get Jalen Carter. Somehow that happens. And then in the very next draft, you get Quinyon Mitchell falling to you at 22. That's not a mistake. I don't know who it was that asked Howie Roseman the question, but I think the vast majority of us were expecting the Eagles to go offensive line in the first round. Whether it was a 22, 20, 25, I think most people were expecting offensive linemen. Howie was asked the question during, I think, the end of the draft press conference. If I told you before the draft, Howie, that you were going to take an offensive lineman, you weren't going to take an offensive lineman until the fifth round. Yeah, exactly. You were going to take an offensive lineman until the last pick you had in the fifth round. Would you have been surprised? He was like, yeah.
A rare moment of honesty.
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen Howie Roseman more open and honest than he was. Maybe he was a little punchy just because he had made so many moves he was a little dazzled after a long 3 days. Exactly. And he was open and honest about everything. At least that's the way I read it. I don't think I'm the only one that did, but Quinyon Mitchell, DeGene Cooper, or excuse me, Cooper DeGene.
I might start calling him DeGene Cooper. That's not a bad nickname.
Rolls off the tongue. Hey, he said he'd accept Cooper DeJean. Like Dallas Goedert shot me down when I pitched him other names other than Dallas when he, you know, was drafted by the Eagles. Cooper DeJohn saying he might go with the change there. I love it at all. I also love the fact that he listens to Frank Sinatra as part of his pregame ritual. So that's a good thing.
Never a bad thing.
I really like what the Eagles did, and they needed defensive help. I wanted them to focus. If it was up, my prediction and my desire were two different things. My prediction was that the Eagles were going to go offensive lineman in the first round. My desire was that they would take a corner. They got arguably the two best corners in the draft. They got arguably the best corner in the draft, and at least two of the top five at worst in the draft. So I'm very happy. And I knew they needed help. I like the versatility of Cooper DeJean's game. The only possible tweak, which again would be a desire and never a prediction, would be when Cooper DeJean went, I went, okay, how long is it going to take for Edgerrin Cooper to go off the board? Is it going to be into Kobe Dean thing where he's going to slip to the third round and we all don't know anything or whatever? And he went five picks later, I think it was.
Yeah. So, well, ironically, it was to Green Bay, who the Eagles traded ahead of to get Cooper DeJean. So they were probably going to take Cooper DeJean. They dropped back because the Eagles stole him and they get Edgerrin Cooper. So that will be an interesting story. What you bring up with Howie and you as a talk show guy who covers everything, Phillies, Sixers, Flyers. Yes, it's more, you can see me. I have fun ripping the Sixers. I love it. It's so easy. I got to talk about this team 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
The guy makes too many damn good decisions. And people say, I'll rip him. I'm waiting to rip him. Mm. It's hard to rip him.
Yeah.
He does a really, really good job.
When they finally Shipley was their first offensive player taken.
Yep, fourth round.
And I about that.
offense
little spots. I find little spots.
Shipley and Anaya Smith. These are versatile guys. These are guys that can catch the football. These are guys that if you need them in a pinch could be running back. I like that Smith lists himself as that dual threat on his hype tape, by the way. These are versatile guys. And with, and I know we've gotten in this argument in the past, John, but I like every once in a while, I like it when a hitter steps up to the plate and hits a single. I would like for Jalen Hurts to embrace the single a little bit more, embrace the slap hitter every once in a while. If you have a running back that's open at the line of scrimmage and you don't want to force the ball downfield, take what the defense has given you. Tom Brady made a nice little career out of doing that. So for me, I like the idea of having running backs slash wide receivers that could be that dual threat. And there's no better example of that, obviously, than Saquon Barkley, which is why I'm thrilled that he's here. But I like when they went offense, and I love that they piled up on defense with their first three picks. So I really like the Eagles draft. All the national pundits that go with an A or an A+, I'm right there with them. The only thing that I really look at with let's see how that works out. And I still like the pick. It's not like I think Cooper DeJean is some hack, but interesting.
Well, Edgerrin Cooper was right there. You know, I want to see a big back like Jordan Howard. Remember Jordan Howard for that little stretch, or even Jay Ajayi.
It's almost like if they keep bringing in these little guys, they're going to force Jalen Hurts to use them in the backfield.
Yeah, right.
I'd like to see a one-cut runner, but this is the kind of nitpicking I have to do. North-South guy. They've already had DeAndre Swift was a great receiver. You don't know it because they didn't use him. He was a great receiver in Detroit. Kenny Gainwell played receiver at times. He was so good in Memphis in college. They don't use him that way. So what makes you think they're going to use Saquon or Will Shipley any better? Now, Saquon's got much more talent, so it'll probably be a little bit better, but you get my point when it comes to always trying to get the same theme of running back. Why not mix it up? Give me a little thunder and lightning. Give me somebody who can move the chains and do it back. Behind this offensive line, Mark Barzetta, which I've always wanted to see a one-cut north-south runner with this offensive line to see what he can do. But they love these guys who, oh, he's so versatile. He can catch the football out of the backfield that we never throw. All right, great. Maybe when you get Tom Brady or a quarterback like Phillip Rivers, who Nick Sirianni loves, yeah, then you need that back. Right now, I don't know if you need that back.
Well, here's my thing. If you're a fan or even a coach, like maybe you're one of the coaches on the staff that really want Jalen Hurts to start hitting running backs, the game that really haunts me from this past season is the Seattle game. And there were two instances where a little check down, little dump down at the line of scrimmage, you win that football game.
Oh, yeah. If they were just patient, they win that game.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Like, the perfect example is, you and I have talked a lot, John, about, and Xander, I know you've had this conversation as well, the situational football with the Eagles. Third down, great. But, like, situational mindset, good strategy football is something that still needs to be drilled into Jalen Hurts' head, maybe A.J. Brown's head. And that is, hey, if you're up 4 points in the fourth quarter and you have the ball and the other team's, 45-yard line? First and 10, maybe don't take that shot into the end zone.
I'll still say this, though. I still say this about that Seattle game. And I'm with you. Yeah. They forced that ball. They went off the reservation. But I'll tell you what, A.J. Brown took responsibility. As we're sitting here on May 3rd of 2024, I believe. I think that's the correct year.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts has never taken responsibility for that.
Oh. Yeah. Trade him.
I'm not saying that. But
I know.
People rip AJ. He's not a leader. He's the one out there taking responsibility for the mistake.
Let me put this on record real quick. All right, because I love AJ Brown.
So do I.
And watching his press conference, I'm like, it's so easy to go. To look at a wide receiver that talks and be like, diva. You know what I mean?
I'm
sorry. Somebody else isn't speaking up. He's the guy speaking up. He's the guy holding everybody. He's the guy that when he did his little, speaking of rants or tirades, whatever, when he finally addressed the media and broke his silence, right? And everyone was losing their minds over AJ Brown not talking. He just said, like, everyone here in this locker room is accountable. It's not the coaches. They're not out there being asked to make the plays. We're being asked to make plays. We're not making the plays. Is that not exactly the mindset you want from your athlete? That it's my fault, it's not somebody else's fault? I thought that's the mindset that we love in Philadelphia. Now all of a sudden that's a diva? Like, that doesn't make sense. So yeah, put me on the record. I love AJ Brown.
Yeah, and John says it all the time. He's one of the most misunderstood athletes, John, I think you said, you've ever covered. Because it's easy to slap the diva tag on him, but
he's not a diva.
He's not. I don't talk to him behind the scenes like you do, but you do say he's a great guy, you know, both on and off the air, which is cool to hear. I will say that about Jalen Hurts, though. I don't want to change the guy from what he is, but boy, I wish he was more of a vocal leader, especially when you're, you know, 1-7 down the stretch and he's sitting on the it's easy to analyze it from my couch and say, why is Jalen Hurts doing that? But somebody's got to do it. You're making $50 million a year. You're the quarterback of the football team. Go and light a fire under somebody's ass and get them to play.
I'm going to defend Jalen after, you know.
Good, hit me with it.
From Jalen's perspective, you know, when he was winning 24 or 26 or whatever the hell it was, everybody was like, oh, it's so great. He's a flat line. Yeah, he's so calm on the sidelines. He never gets overwhelmed. It's all great. And then when they start shitting the bed, it becomes a problem, which Jalen said, and he's right. You know, he is who he is. You can't change who he is. That's
but do different times call for different measures, John? I mean,
well, if you're a stoic guy,
don't change a thing. But when you're 1-7, maybe I got to change
something. If you're an energy guy like Mark Barzetta, you're an energy guy. You're not gonna temper it down for some nut job like me. If you're more understated, you're more understated. You're not going to change your personality on a dime. Then you just look like a bipolar lunatic, really, if you think about it. I mean, you're going to act like a... I often wonder, Mark Barzetta, if Tom Brady was having some of his mashups on the sidelines in Philadelphia, where he's throwing Microsoft Surface Pad. I don't want to dispute, everybody says iPads. Poor NFL not getting their plug-in. Microsoft Surface Pads, do they still exist? When he's having those meltdowns, How would that have gone over in Philadelphia? Good if they win, bad if they lose, right?
Was he still like racking up Super Bowls and all that stuff? Was that still going on?
Probably not. Maybe two. Yeah. Probably not six. My point is, look, emotional's great if you win. It ain't great if you lose.
Mm-hmm.
Stoicism is great if you win. It ain't great if you lose.
Oh, yeah.
Same conversation with AJ Brown, though.
I really admire stoicism. And I at times personally, I mean, I know you guys are talking about like my energy and all stuff. At times I have to do an impression of somebody who is stoic.
Energy. Yeah, so does Brandon. Yeah, Brandon admits that. I thought you were going the energy route. BG will say, hey, sometimes I gotta manufacture this bullshit.
But when everything is setting itself on fire, like at the end of the season, for instance, I think some people, their brand of leadership or their style of leadership is probably the better way to say it, is I'm still going to be the guy that says everything's cool. We got this. No matter, hey, we got this. And in Jalen's case, like I think in Philadelphia, Chase Utley is one of the greatest leaders we've ever seen in the sports community in Philadelphia. Other than the three really famous words he said, he might have said four other words in his entire time in Philadelphia. He led by example, but he picked his spots. Jalen Hurts, I could see being that same type of guy. And we all know this. You don't have to be an athlete to know this. Everyone knows somebody at work that's just the quiet to themselves type, puts their heads down, put their head down and just does their job. Jalen Hurts, you can be that to an extent, but you have to pick your spots. But the moment that person steps out of character is the moment that person's pushed aside. Because it's like, well, dude, you don't even, you're just doing this because you feel like you have to. This isn't genuine. And yet really, really loses its gusto. And I think, and I love the idea of Jalen Hurts still speaking, but when it's called for, not forcing the issue. The other guys are already the vocal leaders in that locker room. AJ Brown is already a vocal leader in that locker room. I get that. Brandon Graham, still a vocal leader, even though he does skew to the side of optimism and it's all good. But for me, I think Jalen Hurts doesn't have to force it, but there has to be situations there where he does have to take the responsibility of not rah-rah, flip a table over, smash a Surface tablet, whatever, but just pick his spots if things start to go awry or they're not practicing right, things aren't looking good, to make sure that he gets those guys focused.
And that's the old adage for quarterbacks is it's, you know, when you're successful, it's we. And when you're not, it's me. And that's why I bring up Seattle. He should have been the first one saying, you know what? Don't blame Nick Sirianni. Don't blame Brian Johnson. Don't blame AJ Brown. Blame me. I made a mistake. I made a bad read. I made an underthrow. I threw it in the double coverage. That's where I think would hold some water more, you know, that old adage. Whereas AJ was the one who had to step up and protect the coaches. And because Nick, by the way, showed leadership. He was like, remember that convoluted explanation? It was the dumbest thing ever. And AJ even said, this guy looked like a fool for us. He said that about Nick. Yeah, he was like, he looked like a fool for us.
Yeah. And yet AJ's the diva.
Yeah. Well, here's where I'll disagree, though, on Jalen Hurts. And I agree. I don't want him to not be himself. And I do think there will be some disingenuous if he does that. But I think not being different than you are, but expanding who you are to match the moment is part of playing with that contract.
I think that's fair.
A rookie quarterback that's coming into the league anymore, a second-round pick, slightly understated. If the time calls where you're the $55 million quarterback and you got to step up to get your team out of a 1-7 rut or get prepared to go play Tampa in Tampa in the playoffs, expand, be bigger, be better. Approach that moment in a growth mindset versus this is what I am. I'm not going to be anything I'm not. If what you are isn't working in that moment, you got the contract, expand, be bigger, be better.
I agree. I think that's a good way to put it. The example that I bring up is, and this is after Jalen Hurts was asked about expanding the role or being more of a leader. Do you feel like you have to change and all that stuff? The one example I'll bring up is Quez Watkins getting that start last year. And it was the game that Devontae Smith missed after he hurt his ankle, I think it was. And he texted Quez Watkins and said, hey, you know, be ready. And my only thing is, and this is nitpicking 100%, but if I have to look at one example of maybe one thing that's different, maybe instead of the text message, it's a, instead of Quez Watkins putting that out to the media, Jalen texted me. Maybe that's, no, Jalen came up to me out on the practice field and really talked me up and really told me how much this team needs me and I'm going to be ready to go. And maybe it's a little bit more of a personal connection. I understand, John, I think your take on it was, it's what they do. They text nowadays. Yeah, but I think maybe that's the next step.
They probably, look in the eye. I would say Quez's locker was a good 25 feet away from Jalen's locker. So that's a long way to go, Mark.
Good Lord.
That's a long way.
Whereas
you could just pick up the phone and say, hey, be ready. I can't walk 25 feet and say, be ready. I might do that to Ed Kratz today as we're going down there. I'm going to see him, but I might text him.
Put your arm around him. Be like, hey, Kratz, we're going to need you to step up a little bit today, okay?
Yeah.
We need you to step up.
I don't want to say it face to face. Come on, that's awkward.
Oh, God. Oh, good times.
Parsi, rookie camp coming up. Who are you most excited to see or to learn a little bit more about from the Eagles draft class?
Will Shipley is the guy that I'm looking at the most. Versatility, catching, overall work ethic. I really like the little factoid that Howie Roseman dropped in there about how he wanted to, he got a 4.0 in school simply because in class he also wanted to kick people's ass. So I like that competitive edge about him.
He had the best introductory press conference ever, Will Shipley. I've been doing this for 25 stinking years. Nobody's ever been more impressed.
Wait, was that on the Zoom or was Zoom. That? Yeah. Okay, I haven't seen his yet. I got to check his out. But
I was ready to rip the pick on our draft show, and Johnny Mack comes on and is like, "That was the most impressive press conference I've ever had."
I've never been more impressed by a young man in my life.
Okay, fair enough. And then, Red Star, right? And then, of course, your corners, but I don't know how much you're really going to be able to tell from that. But yeah. I'm Will Shipley.
15 minutes, so we're not going to be able to tell anything. But
I don't. It's tough in this situation. I want to see how hard Nick Sirianni coaches these guys. I don't know. Is it gonna be Camp Hard Ass this year?
I want to see John Ross run a 4.22 if that's possible.
John Ross Watkins.
Wow. Wait, John Ross is going to be at rookie camp?
Yeah. Tryout player.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. He went from retirement to rookie camp. That's ass backwards. Ass backwards. Yeah.
They're bringing in Jakeem Grant as well. If you remember him, he was a good kick returner. Had about, five, six kickoff returns. They're bringing him in.
Lord.
For a try it as well. So that's good stuff. At Mark Barzetta, make sure you follow Mark on X, Twitter, The Barzy Show. Everywhere, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook Live. How many other? Jacob Media, Jacob YouTube page.
Everything.
How many platforms?
Everything. Everything, man.
Xander told me Birds 365 has 1 million. I don't know if this is good, but it sounds like a lot to me.
It's good.
1 million podcast downloads. We crossed 1 million.
Holy.
I give all the credit to the appearances of Mark Barzetta.
Well, yeah. I mean, rightfully so. I mean, if you're talking about divas, I mean, who is the diva involved in Jacob Media? That'd be me, obviously.
That's true.
No, congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think it's awesome. I don't know.
It is, Johnny Mac. Yeah. By every metric, that's a good number to have, especially for podcasts, which works different than YouTube than it does over there. So good stuff. We appreciate everybody in the chat box. I even see big sales in the chat box. So drop us a like in the chat to help us reach 2 million podcast downloads. So, Mark, good stuff. Thanks for joining today. Thanks for bringing the espresso energy. I was a little surprised by your comeback to John's Sixers rant. I thought you were going to.
I was expecting you to rip me.
I could go an hour. All right. I know your audience is here.
You already did it this morning on the Farzy show.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Here's all I'll say. All right. To close on the Sixers. Last year, I wasn't pushing Joel Embiid out the door. This year, I'm not pushing Joel Embiid out the door. I took calls last year. I'm going to make calls this year if I'm Daryl Morey and see what I can get in return for Joel Embiid. I love the player. I love how he played in this series, with the exception of the fourth quarter in game four, because that was terrible. But he did gut it out. I can't call him soft. The guy played on one leg, Bell's palsy and all that stuff. I absolutely love the player. I wish he was here for 5 years playing for MVP awards and championships and all that. But
I'm done with Joel Embiid.
All right. I like inching off the protection at all costs. Too many people do that.
Yeah.
Great player. I have never criticized the talent, but he has to understand there are moments where he can't be the guy. You said close it on the Sixers. That's the problem. They don't have a closer. They need to find a closer. Hopefully that's Tyrese Maxey, but we don't know. We saw it in game five, but that was desperation. Mm. He's got to be in the Jalen Brunson role of creating everything in the waning minutes of a game.
I'm with you there. And yesterday, look, he was not great yesterday.
No,
he did not play well. But he had 10 points in the fourth quarter. So,
The Knicks did a good job adjusting. They ran at him. They tried to get the ball out of his hands. They did a good job.
First quarter, he had a wide open look, and I think he airballed it. Yeah, it was an airball or bottom of the backboard, which is kind of more embarrassing. But still need more from him, especially in the early goings. It can't be 28. It can't be Knicks 28, Joel Embiid 9, and that's the only guy scoring for the Sixers.
That was a brutal start. I'm surprised they even came back and got back in the game.
By the way,
got a 10-point lead and they blew it.
Nick Nurse's line. No, you know what? And I made this analogy on the show this morning. I said, you know what? And I hate to go there with people, but Jalen Hurts fumbling and spotting the Chiefs 7 points in the Super Bowl, that's what I was reminded of last night. For whatever awful reason, that's where my mind went when the Sixers were trailing by 22 points in the first quarter. I'm like, even if they make a run, this is still a horrible way to start this basketball game. And you're playing makeup. You're playing makeup throughout the rest of the game. Yeah. So it was pretty terrible. But, thanks for bringing that one back. Yeah, good time.
That fumble arguably
cost. I'm gonna have more fun finishing the half pile of mulch that is still in my driveway than I am talking about the Sixers for the next 5 months.
It is mulch season. Rookie camp mulch season.
Yeah, man.
Gotta get to it.
I laid down the tarp.
How is the floating shelf working out?
Still standing, still attached to the wall. Floating.
That's all that matters.
Still floating, baby. Holding the sound bar all nice. Oh, it's beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
If the Joel Embiid Hill is here, I'm all the way over there.
I'm as far
away from the Joel Embiid Hill as I can be at this point.
Mark, thanks for joining the show. That's all I'm worth.
I'll send you another picture, John.
All right, Forrest. Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, John, at Rookie Camp, don't forget. I didn't do the suntan lotion on the head yesterday, so a little red up here. Don't forget.
Hat's going on.
Looking good for you. Looking to get a little tan going on, a little Italian tan.
A little bronze, you know what I'm saying?
There you go, brother. All right, man, thank you so much for joining us.
See you guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Mark.
There's Mark Parzetta joining us. Always great work, and streams his show every morning at the Start Jacob Sports off. One of the best shows. I love Farzi's show. Great hour of content, so make sure you tune into that and follow him on all of his Twitter and social media platforms. We'll come back and we'll put a wrap on Birds 360. Wow, running out of time here, Johnny Mac. Went a little over with Farzi, but we'll come back and we'll put a wrap on the show and we'll get your final thoughts going into rookie camp, the first time the rookies will be shown at the Eagles facility to all. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll get Johnny Mac's thoughts on that to close out this Friday edition, this week edition of Birds 365.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.